Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Do you or a young adult that you know ever look at the circumstances of our modern world and start feeling hopeless? Do you ever wonder, what's the point? If there's a quick fix to our problems, would you consider it? In today's podcast and post, we continue our series entitled The Way for Young Adults, with a deeper look at wisdom and how it's the closest thing to a quick fix that our world will ever get. Join me now as I reveal the effect that wisdom has on everyone who pays attention to it and why it literally could change the world in a very short amount of time, but why it hasn't done so just yet. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. And I am so thrilled that you're here. Thank you so much for tuning in. And folks, I had no idea. Now, I know I've got a number of young adults in my audience, and I know that I have a number of adults that aren't so young, who have young adults in their life that they know, whether they're cousins, nephews, nieces, children, grandchildren. What I'm saying is wow, like my open rates for the series starter last week were 20% higher than anything in the recent history. So this is really interesting to me. Now, a number of you have reached out and has said, hey, Kev, you need to do TikTok videos. You need to be whatever. And I have consulted with some folks about that. And I'm not thrilled about the idea, but I may venture into that space. I've been told I need to put these podcasts on YouTube as an audio because a lot of people find me there or would find me there. So I may engage in some of that. Lots of changes, folks. I'm super excited to have you here. No matter how or when you found this, thank you for jumping in. I would like to encourage you to learn and buy and read a couple times my new book. It's called Oblivious, and it is a contemplative book. Every chapter only has 500 words. You can read them in about 3 minutes, and they're deep. There's a lot there, and I think it would be a profound support to your spiritual journey. I want to encourage you to go to my website, kevinwinder.com, and look for Oblivious, and if it's of interest to you, order yourself a copy. I would appreciate that. Anyhow, let's jump into part two of our series. This is called The Way for Young Adults. And today, part two, I called The Quick Fix. It's podcast number 499. And let's just jump right into it. So I'm going to start by just creating a little imaginary scenario. Okay. So it's a wonderful Saturday. You and your best friends are all going to go around town. You might go to, an outdoor market. You might go to a movie. You might go to some concert, a venue, something. You're going to run some errands. You're going to do lunch together. You're going to be out and about driving around. So you get into your friend's car and you're trying to crank your tunes as you always do because you're having a good time with your friends. And you know how it works. The GPS always turns down the music so that it can play the prompt, right? And the GPS is pausing the music and voicing directions which your friend ignores. The GPS says, turn right, and your friend just keeps going straight. Then the GPS says, recalculating, make a U-turn in 700 feet, and he or she just ignores it again. So you ask, what are you doing ignoring all the instructions? And your friend answers, oh, well, my GPS is programmed to take me home and we're going somewhere else, so I just ignore it. Now, I'm setting the stage here for you. I want to create something that will help you in life. And as I contemplated and prayed about this, This is the metaphor that kind of appeared in my heart. This is our metaphor today. A GPS system is extremely technologically advanced. You have satellites orbiting the world at 30,000 miles an hour, or however much faster they are. I don't know, maybe it's even faster than that. I don't know. And you have a little phone or something in your car, and it's beaming a digital signal at the speed of light to a satellite spinning around the world, and it's automatically finding you through a series of cell phone towers and connected location devices. And it knows you, where you are down to the foot. It tells you 50 feet, turn right. It's amazing technology, but is totally unhelpful if we ignore it or don't have it turned on. It's like a cell phone and all its power, but having no battery. The technology is there, but it's unusable to us. So what happens with GPSs is when we already know, like you start out, like, how do I get out of the stadium and get on the highway from here? I don't know. So you turn on your GPS, you have it, as soon as you get on the highway, you just turn it off. You don't need its help anymore, right? You kind of use it like that. Like, I only need it to get me to this place and then I'm fine. Now in life, our GPS coordinates cannot be turned off. And they cannot be turned down. Now, I know that metaphor kind of falls apart, as all metaphors do. But in life, our GPS cannot be turned off, and it actually cannot be turned down. So when we don't want to follow the instructions, and that is the metaphor for wisdom, we basically learn how to ignore it. Like, it's going in the background. Your friend has ignored it. It's been going on all day for him or her. You get into the car and it's annoying because it can't be turned down. But you have to now learn to ignore it too. That's the world training us to focus our attention on something, literally anything, other than wisdom. This is why last week we started with whatever you get wisdom, right? At any price, get insight. Like, the biblical revelation is get wisdom. And remember, wisdom is a gift from God. It is the divine feminine part of God, Sophia. It is that part of, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God giving him and herself away. Think of it like that. But the world has trained us to focus on anything else but wisdom. So our first lesson today is that hearing wisdom again means that we have to kind of bring it to the foreground. It's always been there. You can't turn it off and you can't turn it down, but you've been trained to ignore it. And so the first lesson for your life that can really, really change your life is to learn how to bring the message to the foreground and not the background of your life. And I asked you at the end of last week's post, is there anything that you want more than wisdom? And if the answer is yes, like, I want a job, I want to have a loving relationship, I want to be married, I want to buy this car, I want to have that job, I want this accolade, I want to be famous, I want to have this many subscribers, whatever it is, if you want it more than wisdom, you'll never get what you truly want. Hear me, folks. This is the watershed point of every young person's life. The watershed is like the roof, the apex of your roof, where water or rain comes down, and if it hits one side of the apex, the water goes to the backyard. If it hits the other side of the apex, the water rolls down towards the front yard. This is a watershed. This, like, means if you get this, you have a potential to have everything you truly want. If you forsake wisdom, all you can have is what you think you want, but you'll never obtain what you truly want. Okay? And this is a nuance here. I'm not promising you prosperity and health and riches and all of that, but I can tell you the effect of wisdom is success in the world the way God has designed the world. See, and all that we think we want can be had by ascension, pride, rising up, outdoing, taking out your competition, being faster, earlier, smarter, better, harder. All effort and output is going to ascend you to the higher ranks of life. That's the message of the world. That is the drowning out of pride. I mean, of wisdom. That is a drowning out of wisdom with pride. But wisdom is obtained by descending, by humility. That's the big lesson. You get what you really want by giving it up. And you possess, when you try and possess what you think you want, you forsake what you really want. That's the first lesson. Okay, so now last week, I introduced you in this series on the premise that young adults might want a job or to get a house or to get real friends or true love or a politically stable world. And all that is good, right? But they want it more than true wisdom. Wisdom is the skill and the will to use the knowledge that we possess. And wisdom is a spiritual gift, like I said, given by God to all who ask, and it comes with the expectation that we will use it and not squander it. So it's like, hey, I'm going to give you the GPS coordinates. My expectation is that you actually listen to them. Like, what good is it if you think you need to turn right and the GPS is like, no, turn left here. And you're like, no, I know I can get there another way. Like, it's like, that's called foolishness. See, wisdom will free you from the consequences of foolishness. And here's the other side effect of wisdom. People are going to assume, oh man, you are so lucky, right? They're gonna see that your life starts to move into conformity to what appears like an advantage in the world. It's kind of an unfair advantage. But I'm going to show you how you can possess that. And it really is an advantage. It's the promise of the gospel. Now, the gospel is not prosperity doctrine. I'm not saying you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and all that kind of stuff. That's junk. What I am saying is that wisdom brings a profound benefit to your life that you don't want any without it. You don't want to live without it. It opens your life to you rather than fighting you. Like, if you're going through life and everything fights you, every single thing you try is a frustrating effort. It blocks you. It slows you. It trips you up. Everything is twice as hard and twice as expensive and twice as long as everything you think. If you're in that flow, your feet are stuck in the mud because you have embraced pride and foolishness, not the wisdom of God. That's the difference. People will say you're lucky when you figure this out. You're not lucky. You're applying the gift that God has given you, wisdom. And lastly, wisdom is going to provide you with this long view, okay? And it's going to orient you toward the long term, not just immediacy. And so often as young people, we're stuck in the what's going to happen next month. I can't pay my bills this month. And your whole life collapses into what is next? What is next? It's all immediacy. And because you spend all of your calories and time and money and resources on the immediate, you have nothing left over for the long term. And so you live in this quandary of darkness and frustration, and you feel like the world is rigged. Everybody else seems to be getting their ship to come in. Everybody else seems to be having these things happen to them. Why aren't they happening to me? This is why. Okay? And that's the last point that we're going to focus on today, is this long term. But let's break down this point just a little bit about immediacy. See, we're all drawn to shortcuts. If I could say, hey, instead of going to college, you could take a 1-week course And when you finish the 1 week course, you have a guaranteed income of $150,000 a year for a base. And if you get really skilled, you can triple that to $450,000. How many of you would go toward college? And how many of you would take me up on my 1 week course? Now, there are things in the world that can do that. They're not accessible to everybody. Like some people, you have to have a ton of resource in order to make something like that work. But let's just face it. There are so many gurus and books and programs and podcasts and things you can subscribe to. And everybody's a career coach, a life coach, or whatever. This is why I call myself the uncoach. I deconstruct. They're always trying to add effort and output to you and get you to spend money so that you can be something. Don't fall into that trap, okay? Quick fixes aren't what they think they are. And when a person comes to you and you says, hey, honey, there is no quick fix, they're partially correct. I mean, the translation is, don't get your hopes up. You're going to have to actually work at something for a long time in order to find success. They're actually, that's very true. Like if you're trying to avoid work, if you're trying to avoid a 40-hour work week in a cubicle somewhere and working your way up in a corporation because you've been told that that's evil, bad, or wrong, or something else, or you truly believe you can become an Instagram influencer instead. Like, think this through. Like, those people telling you don't get your hopes up, they are helping you. Okay? Now, it's true that you're going to have to work at something for a long time. But here's the other thing. That's not all that is true. You see, winning the lotto would be a quick fix to many problems. If you won the $250 million Powerball, you could leave home. You could go get a very nice apartment with a very nice car and have a very nice vacation and have plenty of money left over to do it for many years to come. You solve a lot of problems with your lotto winning. But wisdom helps us realize that winning the lotto isn't necessary to win. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, the wise person is like, I don't even feel compelled to play the lotto. Like, some people feel like they have to at least try every week because that's the only thing they could have hope in. But wisdom says, you don't need the lotto. You got me. You got Sophia. You got wisdom, the wisdom of God, the gift of God to guide you, to say not this way, not that way, but this way. Like, it's a proven fact. Most, like 95%, folks, of these multi-million dollar lotto winners are broke within 5 years. Do you know how many multi-millionaire sports players can't even fund their off-season when they've got $10 million contracts? Folks, wisdom is what you need, not money. If you have wisdom, money is a natural byproduct. So whatever you think you want, seek wisdom first. This is why I'm leaning hard into that in this first two posts, okay? So wisdom really values what is gained in the struggle more than avoiding the struggle, okay? So there is a sense, though, in which wisdom is the ultimate quick fix. The nuance is that it's only a quick fix if it's true wisdom. See, true wisdom returns us to the GPS coordinates which are constantly running in the background of our lives. These are GPS coordinates that, like your friend in the car, you and I have been suppressing throughout our lives. You pushed it down. You've ignored them. And now your life is a struggle. Well, the return to wisdom is the returning of bringing that voice back to the forefront. And the moment you trust that voice, those GPS coordinates, the moment you trust wisdom again, it's going to recalculate your route. And we seek new destinations. true wisdom never takes us to our destination. So if you think you have a goal and you're going to listen to me about wisdom and then try and learn something about wisdom and then use it as an advantage, as a lever to get you to what you want, you will fail 100% of the time because you will lack the wisdom that you're seeking. You might get good advice, you might get a good nugget, but you won't have wisdom. Wisdom won't take you to where you want to go. Wisdom will only take you where wisdom has destined you to go. The Bible puts it like this. Paul, in the book of Romans, says, "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of humanity, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." I was careful in reading that. I really, really wanted you to hear that. And you probably heard that word wrath and then wigged out a little bit. So I'm going to touch on that in just a second. But here's the gist of all of that. Those who follow wisdom will do the right thing the right way. That's called righteousness. And as we navigate life by way of faithing, like applying it, faith is not belief. Faith is the action verb of putting that belief into action. It's faithing. So this word wrath, you know, Paul is gifting us. He's giving us a gift with this ability to see. Now, do you realize that everything we hate about the evil aspects of life are proving the point that Paul's making here about wisdom? Like, think of it. You don't like that political party. You don't like what's happening right now in your city. You don't like what's happening with the economy. You don't like what's happening with immigration. You don't like what's happening with this or that or the other thing. You don't like what's happening in your career. You don't like what's happening with your dating life. You don't like, you're all of the things that you are displeased with is proving Paul's point. Can you see that ignoring the GPS coordinates have caused each of us to disintegrate? And I'm going to use that word a lot, and I'm going to teach on it eventually. But it's to disintegrate, to come apart into pieces, to fragment your life, not integrate your life. When you miss the coordinates, all you have is a bunch of roads that go anywhere, and they all interconnect, and you have no direction. You have no true north. And pridefully, we assert our will in opposition to everybody else's will. Everybody else is trying to go somewhere too, but it's not where you're going, but they're in your way. You see traffic as the thing that's blocking you. You don't see yourself as the traffic. And Paul proves that we all know better, but we choose to ignore it. My question is, how long have you ignored this? What are you getting at, Kev? I'm starting to get a little confused. Well, I'm talking about the wrath. See, religion tells us that the messed up world will be the cause of God's wrath. Right? Isn't that what you've heard? Oh, all those sinners. God is going to come back with a can of whoop-ass, and he is going to take them out. That's what hell is for. All the bad people, the sinners, the liars, the cheaters, every category of person you hate goes into that one, right? And religion told you that everything we're doing now is creating wrath for us in the future. Paul just showed us wisdom reveals that the mess of the world is the wrath. See, you've been suppressing the truth and you've lost your way. And everybody else has. See, everybody else lost their way. And so now everybody's just looking out for themselves. Well, I'm going to get myself unlost at the cost of everybody else. And since we're all doing that, this is wrath. Have you ever felt discouraged by the daily news? You ever felt like all the suffering and the anger, which, by the way, is the same word as wrath? The anger of people hating one another? Ever seen how the news just hates Trump, or it loves Trump? It hates the Democrats, or it hates the Republicans? Like, you have to pick a side to hate. Have you ever felt like we're too far gone in our culture for anything to ever really change? Do you feel like all the good days are behind us? That generation got all the privileges, and they got all the business opportunities. They got all the land and all the stuff and the low interest rates and blah, blah, blah. And it's not fair for us. Those are lies. Have you believed them? Has the severity of life ever made you kind of want to avoid even trying? Like, gosh, I'd rather just stay in my video games and have Cheeto fingers than actually go out and have to really try. I don't want to start at the bottom, but it appears like even with my degree in marketing, I can't get a job outside of Starbucks. That's not fair. Have you ever asked, what's the point? Does it feel like love and marriage and family, they don't belong in a world like this? So why even bother? Like, folks, all of this is wrath. Wrath is the default mode within all of us when we forsake wisdom. We are in the car going about our way, ignoring the directions that we can't turn off and we can't turn down. It feels horrible because it's supposed to feel horrible. That is the design. And when you hear this enough, you'll figure it out. The world has a true design because it has a true designer. And when we follow the designer's design, the world opens up to us. There's almost no competition where I'm taking you. Success is almost guaranteed. Now, I'm not promising you the success you imagine in your mind, but I'm promising you a life without this wrath, and that is true success. Now, if the world's suffering leaves you feeling hopeless, then please allow me to reorient you back to the quickest fix possible. The quick fix doesn't mean world peace within the next 2 months. However, the quick fix means that it could be. Kevin, are you saying the whole world could be totally peaceful and different in 2 months? Yes, 100%. I'm going to prove to that to you. Now, C.S. Lewis gives an example of performing a mathematical sum. And he says that when we realize we've made a mistake, the most progressive thing we can do is go back to that point in the sum where we made the mistake and then correct it and move forward. It doesn't help us to keep trying to make the math work by building upon the error. You can't keep calculating and get the right answer. So, progress isn't just adding new software updates. Progress is often a factory reset, which I said last week. And this is the portal through which you can see the world. Instead of going back to our mistakes, we just keep piling them up when the math isn't mathing. That's what you're seeing, and that is wrath. It's like if you reject the good news of wisdom and the voice that loves you, what voice do you have? Just the one that wants to kill you, destroy you, ruin you. Of course that's going to make you feel hopeless, miserable, anxious. See, the quick fix appears once we seek a factory reset and return to wisdom. And once wisdom reprograms our coordinates, we instantly return to our intended course. You could be way off course, but when you finally tune in and the GPS says, make a U-turn, and you do, immediately you can follow the voice to safe harbor. Changing coordinates may require us to give up some of the things we think we want, but the promise is that we will gain what we truly want. I can't explain this other than to pray that you grasp this. I trained my kids in this, and they live it every day. They can perceive this difference, and the results show for themselves. Like, we can complain about the world's collapse if we are focused only on ourselves. Don't you see? Like, why are you complaining about the world's collapse if all you care about is you? You're the reason the world's collapsing. You're only focused on you. Like, the latter is the cause of the former. It only takes a moment to pay attention to the GPS. The quick fix is bringing that instruction to the foreground. And this is what I'm laboring to pull this baby out with forceps, because, like, until now, you may not really trust it. You think, I'm trying to bring a religion. I'm trying to impose something on you. I'm going to get you to sign up for something. I have to give you, you take away your weekends from you. No, none of that. The sorting out of the route and the time to reach your destination will be fully optimized. Your GPS, the software knows how to get you there the fastest. Get you to the thing you truly want the most, the fastest way possible. That's the quickest fix in life, is wisdom. The journey does take time. You will have to work, but you'll love it. You will have to labor, but it'll be worth it. But at least you're going to know something that all the others don't know, and that is this: you're still on the fastest route. So let me just close by giving you this example. This last weekend, my family and I went to the Metallica concert. It was a Friday night and a Sunday night. It's awesome. If you haven't seen Metallica, you need to. But prior to the show, while all the fans are gathering and waiting, there's a small section of the stadium that was trying to get other people to do the wave. And as more people caught on, the wave got a little bigger, but it was still kind of regional. It was cloistered to one part of the stadium. And when the wave would go to like a quarter of the stadium and then stop, all the people that had done the wave would boo. They'd go boo to the non-wavers, to where it stopped. And then when the non-wavers would see that all the people were booing them, they would start again. And then the wave would start. And then they could see, oh, they're booing us because we weren't playing along. So then they would play along. And then the others started to catch on. And pretty soon, within several minutes, the entire stadium had turned into the collective consciousness. And the wave began circling the stadium. It was epic. Like, literally, that environment, 74,000 people in one place. A few started it, then they caught on. It was amazing how fast the entire stadium caught on as soon as they tuned in to what was happening. They put their phone down. They stopped talking about how hot it was. They stopped complaining about the person next to them or the smell of weed or whatever it was. And for a second, they focused on what was happening collectively and became a part of everybody. So this is more than just a wave, folks. This is an example in the promise of what the Bible calls the good news, the gospel. We are all designed. We have a GPS programmed to work together. Our coordinates are as a unit in order to wave. Do you get it? You don't exist for you. You exist for all of us, and I exist for all of you. I die, and I find myself renewed in all of you. You die, and you find yourself in all of us, in all of us in God. That's the biblical program. The GPS is going to take you into that direction. You cannot have God. You cannot go into a religion. You cannot find spiritual peace. You cannot find isolation or oneness with God and then divorce it from all others. That is impossible. He who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The GPS coordinates take us to unity, but we have to bring them to the foreground and listen. The stadium is full of complete diversity. Republicans, Democrats, older people, younger people, smelly people, healthy people, whatever, cigarette smokers, weed doers, you know, people who are washed out, people who are super successful. If they were all to sit around and argue, there'd be a million things we could all fight about. But for that moment, when we're all focused on the same thing, something so much more than any one of us became and emerged. All the people, political parties, ages, sexes, religions, everything that could possibly divide us was fixed. It was put in the background, and for a brief moment, we all had fun. We are all one. If we can all be one in Metallica, we can certainly all be one in God. That is wisdom, and that is the design of the world. But we have to stop suppressing that truth and bringing upon us the wrath of isolation. You see it? It's beautiful. It's the quickest fix we can have. And none of us, all we have to do is start to ignore all the crap we think is so important and start to listen to the thing that's truly important that you thought didn't matter. That's the beginning of your journey. That's how your life's going to change. Wisdom exists to free us from our isolated, individualistic, hopeless experience unto a unified, diverse, rich, integrated family that forms a body out of 8 billion parts. That's the design. And when that becomes our destination, wisdom has come. And next week, I'm going to show you how this is practically applied. May God bless you as you contemplate these things.